Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Kevin Wooster joins us now as we continue our look at how South Dakota communities change as populations flux and shift. You can read Kevin's blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin Wooster, welcome back to In the Moment.
It's so good to be back, Lori.
Oh, let's go dancing in Vivian. Tell me, yes. Tell me about this this place that you're looking into for this blog.
Well, it occurred to me just recently that I might be the last member of my family to actually dance on the Vivian dance floor, because we were there, I think, in 2014 for a Lyman County Foundation fundraiser when Mogan's Heroes out of Sioux Falls were there and played with my brother Jim, got on stage and dragged some of the other family members up there. And then when we were down waiting for the band to finish and the crowd was watching them, I think my wife and I slipped off to the side and danced a little bit. So that was only 3 years ago, and I was just on it. That was the last time prior to when I was in there the other day. And it's a wonderful place to visit. They've got a dance history that goes back to the early 1920s there. Wow. And they actually built a dance hall as a fundraiser for the American Legion. I shouldn't say hall, they built a floor. And they just built a wood floor, and then people would come dance, and they'd raise money to form this American Legion. Eventually, it started to warp because of the weather, so they put a tent over it. And then eventually, by the late 20s, they built a building over it. And that old historic dance hall lasted through the 30s and 40s until they built a new one, which is right next door to it as a city gymnasium and everything, combination building in 1952. And that's where I danced. And that's where the local historian and past musician and Vivian lover Lonis Wendt took me in the other day, which was really a lot of fun.
So tell me about the town of Vivian and how it has sort of changed and shifted over the years.
Well, you know, I think in the blog I talk about how you can look at the dance hall as kind of symbolic in the town, and the town is kind of representative of so many of these smaller farm ranch towns across the state that have lost population. And you know, with Vivian, of course, it lost its school in the 70s, high school in 70, its grade school in 78, and, you know, once had two grocery stores, once had two garage gas stations, and lots of other businesses there, and three churches down to one now. And yet, it went from a population of about 175 in the 1920s to about 110 now. So it's not like it's gone away. But, you know, what is really hit, sometimes it's hard to measure the loss of people in a town population, because where you really lost it was in all those small farms and ranches that disappeared for 30 or 40 or 50 miles around it on all sides, where you used to have so many more of those, and you used to have the larger families and a lot more of them. And now they're bigger farming and ranching operations, a lot more mechanization. And, you know, there just isn't the rural population that used to come into these small communities and have such an impact. Mm. But it's still a place where it's kind of an ironic place, is because Lonis talks about how it's a little bit of a bedroom community for Pierre, 35 miles away, because they've got some people that live there and some younger people with families, and commute to the 35 miles on all four lane to Pier. And I talked to one of the commuters, and we talked to Myron Lee, one of the old historic rock and roll guys from Sioux Falls, who was very popular in the 50s and 60s and still around down there.
Right.
Of course, he said, we went to Vivian and played there, and seems like there was always a fist fight outside, and seemed like there was a lot of good people around dancing. And so we did a little bit of that looking back, too. And it was just fun to walk through to open that building up and feel its atmosphere kind of rush out into the warm April sunshine, and then talk about it with him was a gas.
So what's there now? It's still standing. Is it used for anything?
It is, and it's used for a dance once in a while, for a wedding, for a, you know, wedding event or an anniversary event for the foundation. You know, the Lyman County Foundation used it just a few years ago, packed it in. And in fact, I had invited former Senator Larry Pressler, who was running for the Senate that year again as an independent, to stop by. He was driving back from a campaign stop in Reliant or in Rapid City, and I to Sioux Falls, and I had urged him to stop, and so he did, and so he joined us in the old dance hall for this foundation thing. And I think he got to see Mary and I dance a little bit too. I'm sure that excited him.
What's the legacy of a a small square footage dance floor like that to a town like Vivian and to the people who grew up there?
Well, there's so much that they talk when you go there. They talk about how Blue Baron and his orchestra came through, and that was apparently a guy that was pretty popular back with the big old band era that was kind of fading in the 60s. But they caught them on a trip between the Eastern Coast and Seattle, and the producers and the promoters in those times locally were always in touch with that whole connective world of dance of bands, and they were always trying to get somebody good, and they happened to get the Blue Baron and his band stop, and that was an old big band swing type sound, and there were about 1,800 people in there that night, according to Lonis, and he said that's the most they ever had, and they had to dance in shifts. People all cooperated and would go out onto the floor, and then the next group would stand there, and the others would get off so they could dance. And he said there are people that can still remember those sounds when they go into that building, and the things with Myron Lee and local guys. DJ and the Cats is a very popular regional group that came out of Presho, and they've got a history there too.
Right, you've got a place to play.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So a great opportunity for the musicians themselves to find those audiences as well over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had a little, they were very smart in the late 40s and early 50s. They created a little bar across the street where you could go sit down, and he said not all of the other towns had that. And one of the things he said was that the 70s kind of started to bring an end to that whole dance era because the other towns were getting them. Vivian had kind of a monopoly on it for a while in that area, and the other towns picked it up. And then in the early 1970s, we got serious about cracking down on DWI, which was a good thing. Overall, but there's a way in and a way out. There's two ways in and out of Vivian. So if you put a sheriff at one end and a highway patrol at the other, you're getting everybody as they leave. And guys that were driving in from Winter and Pier and Chamberlain and Draper and parts in between decided, boy, if I'm going to go to Vivian and I can't drink a few, I don't know if I'm going to go to Vivian. And so that was the good and the bad of that. Good for the highway safety, not so good for the dance hall.
Right, but still an interesting consequence to sort of think about and discuss. Lots of people remember those days when it wasn't, it wasn't enforced like it is now. Wow. Kevin Wooster, the blog is sdpb.org/Wooster. It's called On the Other Hand, and you can read all this and more there. Kevin, it is always a pleasure and delight to have you on the program and also to read your work online. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next week.
Okay, talk to you soon.